Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
By the way, when the Democrats subpoena all of the stuff from the White House, they're going to say, the White House is going to say, see, check with our candidate, Canadian spokesman.
Right, say you can't have any
Trump administration Canada.
Canada spokesman.
I think this is a terrible thing.
I think it's despicable.
It's a terrible thing.
God, who posed this?
You know, yeah. I mean, there's no privacy.
No, there's not.
No.
But you should expect that.
But that's a fact.
Do you have a place, Tony, that you can go to vent?
Little
in
house.
In my room, I lock out all my worries and my fears in my room.
This is General George Washington, and you're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
You never know when you're really old how you're going to channel Brian Wilson at any given point. We are live at Chatter. We're doing 5 days this week. We're doing Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday next week. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, not Thursday, Friday here. We're 5 days this week. We're at the corner of Jennifer Street Northwest and Wisconsin Avenue Northwest in Friendship Heights, where tonight, because it's Thursday night, we're going to have a very good football game. This is Carolina at Pittsburgh. This is a real big deal. We're going to talk about this in just a second. Gary Braun is here. Chris Saliza is here. Michael Kornheiser is here.
Excuse me. Nigel, yes? I'm sorry. I just want to make sure. Are you Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday next week? That's all? Is that right? You're not
that's here.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, here. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Nigel is here to run the board, do the news, just sort of help out in all ways.
Screw up. Let me hear it.
I guess that's the
so there's a big event tonight. There's a big foodie event tonight listed on Facebook. It's like the Battle of the Bands, but it's not the Battle of the Bands. It's some sort of judging of great cooks. Right? Is this at the Wharf? Something like that? Do I have this
at
right?
At the Anthem.
At the Anthem.
Oh,
the
Anthem is. Anthem is at the Wharf. Yeah.
Okay. And one of the contestants.
Great place to see a show.
Is Chatter.
That's right.
One of the contestants is Chatter. So we wish everybody at Chatter the best of luck. I think the Grand Marshal of this, and that's probably not what the person is
Pooh-bah.
Jose Andres. I think it's Jose Andres as the Grand Marshal. I think.
Am I like, I've eaten his food.
Am I right on this? And then there's a whole lot of people who you would know from food shows, and we will be there. When I say we, I don't mean me. I'm not going
Royal
to.
Royal we.
Yeah, we know. Royal Papal plural.
Chatter will be there. So good luck to everybody involved in that. It's a very slow day in sports. I could talk. The news is so terrible today. The news that you wake up to about the shooting in California is so terrible that not going to do it. It happens every 3 days now. I'm not going to do it. We're going to move on. We're going to be entertaining today. And the entertaining part of my life yesterday was, and this is a smaller story. I'm not trying to say this is a big deal, but I'm rather amazed at it. I'm rather amazed that Dez Bryant has signed a contract with the New Orleans Saints. I'm amazed on a lot of levels, and I want to chat about this. Dez Bryant was, not last year, but in previous years, Dez Bryant was a Pro Bowl receiver.
Yeah.
Mostly with Tony Romo. When Dak Prescott became the starter, he didn't find Dez Bryant as often as Tony Romo did. But different styles for different players. Dez Bryant was cut this year before the season started. The Cowboys said, we're not interested in Dez Bryant anymore. And he sat on the sidelines. I mean, Dez Bryant, if he's 80% of what he was, is still a very credible, deep threat wide receiver. He got, whether or not he got feelers from teams, I don't know. He didn't sign with anybody. He just signed a deal with the New Orleans Saints, who have a great offense.
Yeah,
they got a great offense, the New Orleans
Saints.
Great
receiver.
Drew Brees, Michael Thomas is a great wide receiver. Drew Brees is the most accurate, great passer out there. I mean, nobody's going to dispute any of these things. I did see where other receivers don't get the ball nearly as much as Michael Thomas for whatever reason is out there, probably including that Michael Thomas is better than them and gets open and can go the distance. But what do we think about Dez Bryant? Are we afraid of the chemistry disruption on the New Orleans Saints, who just beat the Los Angeles Rams and who look like a Super Bowl contender? What do you think? You're Mr. Football.
Well, I think there is some Sean Payton and Dez Bryant cross paths in Dallas. No?
I don't think so. Sean Payton has been in New Orleans for a very long time.
2004, 2006?
A very long time.
So, yeah, I don't. You wonder if the juice is worth the squeeze. It doesn't seem like that's a position.
Nigel uses that expression.
Doesn't
a lot.
Seem like that's a position where that team needs help. My first thought was that maybe a just sort of a preventative measure, like let me make sure that he doesn't end up at the Rams or somewhere else where I might be facing a team down the road. I mean, the Saints secondary is not excellent.
It is
so
not.
So he's not a guy you would necessarily want to cover. I mean. And I don't even know if Dez Bryant can play. I'm inclined to think if he could, he would have been on a roster, to your point.
I think at the beginning when he was floating out there, he was looking for one of those five-year deals.
Yeah, well,
nobody was offering that.
Now, granted, he had had the quarterback situation at Dallas had changed from Romo to Dak Prescott, but he had really had trouble separating himself.
But he's big.
He is big.
He can go up on a jump ball, and Breeze can throw that pass.
If you told me my favorite team was getting Dez Bryant, I wouldn't think that somehow was making them worse.
Right.
But because he has been a talented player. But I'm with you. That was sort of a head scratcher to me.
I looked this up because he's 30.
Yeah.
So it's
not a kid.
Not a kid. But also Antonio Brown is 30. I mean, I'm not. But I mean, 30 is still you can be a productive.
He's
wide receiver.
He's also not going to be the primary wide receiver.
Larry Fitzgerald,
will he be able to handle that?
So right, the thing that I wonder. This is a Nigel's point. The thing I wonder. It feels to me a little bit like the Patriots bringing in Josh Gordon, where you're like, like we know he has been productive at one.
Seems
point.
Seems to be working,
but this is why I think they believe clearly the Patriots believe this, and maybe the Saints do too with Breeze and Peyton, that they're. System run by those two guys is such that it can bring in broken toys.
That you're immunized against it.
And it will make it work. And if not, you just that's it.
Yeah, but
so long.
That's it.
I don't know.
I'd push back a little on that. In that the Saints aren't the Patriots, and Josh Gordon is Pro Bowl caliber talent right now, and he's young. Right. I mean, he's not like a back end of his career.
Although, I may be wrong about this. I thought we talked about when the Patriots signed Gordon. I thought we all talked about the fact that he had not been on the field and productive for multiple years, at least as long as Dez Bryant. He is 3 years younger.
Yeah.
He's 27. But he also, I would argue, Josh Gordon had a longer record of off-the-field problems than Dez Bryant.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, he's out of the league three different times.
I don't know. Dez hasn't had
off-the-field problems.
You're right. You were right that no one has the Patriots infrastructure, clearly.
Don't.
But I think this is what that move is.
Yeah, I'd say culturally you have to believe that the coach and the quarterback, and especially the quarterback, are able to control this. You'd worry because wide receiver is one of those positions that seems like it would be the most disruptive to the culture. But you then have to take a look at this as a season of subtraction, and you're already just through the halfway point. You have to see that Carolina's one game back. You have Atlanta that's all of a sudden surging, likely not going to challenge for the division, but could be disruptive in deciding who gets that. And what we've been noticing for the last couple of years is they need to go through their own stadium to have any chance of getting to the championship game. So if he's worth half of a game, and if he's that secondary target that all of a sudden can have something that breaks open as they are in another shootout, then yeah, that's totally worth it.
Makes it very interesting to watch.
And I would also point out they don't.
Oh, sure.
They're not signing the guy blind. I mean, at some point they sat down with him, they looked him in the eye, and they said, "Look, here's the deal.
Yeah.
You know,
this is
how this is going to work."
My
guess is
it's a very easy cut if they have to make it.
Right. Yeah.
If it doesn't work out, you say,
"That's right."
By the way, wasn't he rumored? I mean, wasn't Cleveland circling around him earlier? Can you imagine him with Baker Mayfield?
Well, I think that Baker Mayfield and Dez Bryant. Is not nearly the same as
Drew Brees. Well,
he can't be senior to the quarterback.
If you believe the structure and culture argument, Cleveland would literally
disaster.
Be the worst place he could
disaster. Thank you for mentioning Carolina. Again, Carolina at Pittsburgh tonight, two of the really sort of interesting under-the-radar teams. Do you remember when the Thursday night game was awful? Just awful.
The worst game out there.
They've had very good games.
They have.
The last 2 years, they've had very good games. Do you know what the and I'd say this as an employee of ESPN. Do you know what the Monday night game is this week?
Oh, it's terrible.
Giants 49ers. How do you sell that?
That's a classic.
Are you ready to need some football?
Maybe it's 1985.
Yeah, it's the rematch of the 1990 NFC Championship
Montana
game.
Sims.
Get the old starter jackets out.
It's so true.
Let me get to one other story. This is local. This is a story in the Washington Post today about the Wizards, how the Wizards are 2-8, And the notion is that in any other city in the league, a coach of a 2-8 team would be on the hot seat, but Scott Brooks is not on the hot seat for a variety of reasons, most of which have to do with Ted Leonsis and what he has done over the years with the basketball program that he has. What amazed me was not so much the story, because it led me to watching last night. The Washington Wizards have incurred the wrath of Stephen A. Smith. They have done this. Stephen A., well, he's, I don't call him that because he's my friend. I actually like him very, very much. But I would tell you that Stephen A. Smith at this point is the closest thing to Howard Cosell in sports. That he is he's out there on every single sport, and he is allowed the freedom to rant if he chooses to rant. And what he said about the Wizards intrigued me in this regard, because it's not any different than things I've said for about 2 years that everybody has gotten mad at me about. I said that John Wall's not a great leader. Mm-hmm. He's not a great leader. He is a talented player. He doesn't appear to make anybody better around him. Stephen A. talked about the fact that he did not look in the greatest shape, but he also said he's not a particularly good leader. And Stephen A. said, you have to break this up, and the only saleable commodity you have that anybody wants is Bradley Beal. And he said, you should trade Bradley Beal right now.
Wow.
And this is, now this will get a lot of attention because of where it was done. And by the way, they're 2-8, and after 20 games, they could be 10-10. I have no idea.
Well, they're definitely going to be 9-20.
Well, not after 20 games.
Well, they could
after 29, but not after 20. But people are now focusing on this particular team. They had a bad end of season last year. Their playoffs were not good. And the notion that with LeBron out of the East, that the East is manageable for almost anybody, they've taken a nosedive.
Well, people are going to notice.
Should Scott Brooks be in trouble?
Okay. I mean, they're 2-8. This is a team that
3 max
has,
players.
I was just going to point out. Now, as much as I know, I love him.
I know
Otto Porter. Otto Porter is a max player.
I would say three max contracts.
Right.
Okay.
3 max contracts.
2 max players.
Right. And you know that the problem is not only that they're 2-8, but they're boxed in a little bit. I mean, I'm making the argument now not to fire Scott Brooks because they're boxed in. But
I think
you have to look and say the players are not responding. Now, maybe that's further along in the season, but it's not.
Have you seen the response with Cleveland this year when they fired Ty Lue and they brought in Larry?
They're now 1-10.
The response is they don't win because they stink.
This is the issue.
You have to have a solution, as we say all the time. You can't just fire a guy because you're angry. Who's going to come in and win
better
with this team
constituted? Wall has not started off last year, I believe. It might have been 2 years ago, but I think it was last year. He started off very well.
Yes.
He's not shooting well.
Wall, who has always craved national attention, is now getting it for something he doesn't want.
Otto Porter, I mean, again, 3 max contracts. Otto Porter, Kelly Oubre is playing more minutes and scoring more. I mean, Otto Porter, the last 4 or 5 games, at 6, 8 points. I mean, you just can't, given the money invested in how
in
that
the words
locks,
of Matt that, Millen on football well, players, he's just
he,
a guy.
He right, had a good, good yeah, shooting night the other night. But this is a team, Tony, that I guess 3 years ago, you had Charles Barkley on the show, on the TNT show, saying this is the Eastern Conference team to look out for next year when they lost in the
game 7 when they had the great
Boston.
Game 6 victory.
And he said, you know, now
that wasn't exactly
now
the clinching victory.
But basketball is a sport where, unlike the NFL, where you sort of see teams
that's
coming.
Right.
I mean, they get in, 100%. They lose in the first round, the second. So you're now looking at a third year of gross underperformance. I mean, last year's playoff, forget the fact that they were jettisoned so quickly, but the fact that they got in so low that they weren't higher seeded, I don't know what the solution is, because I don't think there's a coach who comes in and sort of lights the fire. I mean, I think the inmates are running the asylum. They're jammed up with some of these contracts. They've made some bad personnel decisions.
I looked this up because just in terms of expectations, the expectations, the over under for wins, total wins for the year for the Wizards was 44.5.
Yeah,
that puts them about fifth or sixth,
which is low.
It's a playoff team,
fifth or sixth.
But like by comparison, the Jazz were 48.5.
But Chris, 2 years ago,
if I had said, what's the over-under going to be 40. For them in two years?
You would have said 50.
You would have said 50.
50 and a half.
Yeah, nobody goes over.
And if, and well, I think, like,
you don't go over 50.
Like, right. CBS Sports Standings has, and these numbers don't mean anything, but they have, like, playoff percentage projections based. And the Wizards are currently, like, 5 or 8% or something. Like, they're
well,
not.
But it's too early.
Well, and the East is the East. I mean, you know, you have the Raptors and the Celtics and, I guess, the Sixers.
Yeah.
Pacers. That's 4, but you still got,
yeah, but
I mean,
500, you'll get you in, right?
By the way, Golden State over-under, take a guess.
70.
63.
62 and a half.
Oh, nice.
But I would like to point out that Rick Pitino is out there if you are looking for a possible replacement.
Oh, my God.
All right, we'll take a break. We will come back. Chuck Todd will join us. Chuck is hot. 6-1 this past week. 11-3 over the last 2 weeks.
Slow week for Chuck, too.
Chuck
but
Todd, yeah,
been able
I have nothing
to do
else
homework.
To do. All right, we'll be back. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the 23andMe ad. It's a DNA testing service that can offer insights into your ancestry, health, wellness, and traits. The 23andMe Health and Ancestry Service includes reports on how your DNA can influence your weight, your sleep quality, your caffeine intake, your sense of taste, whether you're likely to be lactose intolerant, and more. And it's easy to do. Here's the sort of gross part. You simply spit into the tube provided in your 23andMe kit, and you mail your saliva sample. That's just not a sentence I thought I'd be reading.
Yeah.
You mail your saliva sample back to the lab to be analyzed. There's a thing called the bitter taste report and the sweet versus salty reports. Shows how DNA can play a role in determining your food preferences from sweet to salty to bitter. The deep sleep report tells you if you're more likely to be an especially deep sleeper. The sleep movement report tells you how much you're likely to move during your sleep based on your DNA. The saturated fat and weight report tells you based on your genetics how your weight might be affected by saturated fats in your diet and offers tips on which food to watch out for if you're trying to eat less saturated fat. A more little-known ad is the black licorice taste test, which tells you if you're...
It's like 0.0001% of the population.
So order your 23andMe Health and Ancestry Service Kit at 23andme.com/Tony. That's the number. Don't spell out 23andMe.
Right.
Use the numbers. 23andme.com/Tony.
Are you ready for the update?
Yeah.
Let's start with the bad. You are less likely to be a deep sleeper.
You are more than
likely to move a lot during sleep. But here's where it gets better
for
you.
I don't.
Get that 26.2 sticker because you are 17% more likely to have run a marathon. So congrats.
But I haven't.
That nailed it.
Not yet. I can't and don't want
your spit
to.
And your muscle composition, common in elite athletes.
Oh,
wow. Never for me.
We've you and Donald Trump.
Jewish heritage.
Never for me. All right, let's get out of here.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Tony Kornheiser Show.
Welcome to the darkness.
This is David Gungor, who's a member of The Brilliance. This is Oh Dreamer, the new single that we got before Spotify. The album is also called Old Dreamer. This song is from the Dreamer Suite on the album, and it's Welcome to the Darkness. This is wonderful.
It's lovely.
They've played for us before, The Brilliance. We highly recommend them.
Yes.
They're very good.
Yes.
And they play in Chuck Todd, who is in a crunch and has to go quickly, which is too bad because Chuck has been 6-1 last week, 11-3 the last 2 weeks, 34-26-3.
So hot right now.
Crushing it. Crushing it. So I won't even ask you any political questions.
Hotter than the country.
And I will spare you having to defend your Capitol file pictures. I'm not going to even talk about that.
Glamour shots.
This might be a week. Not only that, Saliza, I got the text signed by Tony. That's how mocking he
I know. Yeah. Chuck sent me a text saying, Tony texted me, I'm moving up the ladder. I was like,
the magazine cover did make the internal text thread of the show,
yes.
I will say.
All right, let's go.
Guess they used Chuck because I passed.
When I took the damn photo, I'm like, how did they get that? For the life of me, I wouldn't have posed that way, I swear.
Yeah, except that you did. So anyway, here we go. We're going to go quick because the phone may die at any time. Carolina, yeah. Thursday night game, tonight game, very, very good game. Carolina +4 against Pittsburgh, at Pittsburgh.
Hate betting on anything Cam Newton, but, you know, the rule on Thursday night is take the home team on a short week. So I'm going to do it, Pittsburgh.
You're going to take Pittsburgh. You're going to give 4. Atlanta goes to Cleveland. Atlanta is a road favorite, a -4, probably based on how badly they beat the Washington Redskins. Cleveland in turmoil with coaching changes and God knows what else. Atlanta, if you like them, you give four.
Yeah, I back-to-back road games for Atlanta. They go home next week. I don't trust them in this spot, even though I don't like having to bet on Greg Williams that he's the greatest coach ever to live.
Many job offers.
The second G stands for genius. Yeah. You're going to take Cleveland?
Taking Cleveland at home.
Okay. New Orleans goes to Cincinnati. New Orleans off a home win, the best win of the year, beats the Rams. They sign Dez Bryant. They go to Cincinnati, which I think had a bye last week. They have to give 4.5. This is a tricky situation.
No A.J. Green, too.
Tricky situation.
Right. Little letdown.
Yeah, the no A.J. Green is a problem, almost a problem for me. But this feels like, you know, letdown plus the Dez Bryant bad mojo. You know, the Saints are playing with fire on that. Give me the Bengals at home.
Chuck reversing a trend that got him to 11-3, where he took road teams all the time. He got to 11-3 in 2 weeks.
This week, there are a lot of decent teams getting points at home. It's not just the bad teams getting points.
Don't you have to give him the Ravens now just to see if he'll take all four AFC North teams?
Don't have it. Not on the board. New England, which has won 6 in a row and answered every single possible question, goes to Tennessee, which just beat the Monday night game, won the Monday night game in Dallas. New England giving 7, pretty big number.
I think so, too. And Tennessee is a terrible team that always finds a way to win. Mm-hmm. And the former Pats coach, Patricia did well against, Vrabel.
And this is Vrabel. Vrabel.
I just have a sneaky feeling that this has got backdoor cover. Tennessee finds a way to stay in the game. A lot of points. Give me them at home.
Oh, my God. It's 4 home teams.
I know.
Well, let's see if he goes home team on this.
No
the
chance.
Arizona Cardinals, dreadful team, are getting an enormous number. 16.5 points at Kansas City.
Oh, at Kansas City. Okay.
16.5. Oh. Where are you going?
By the way, just so you know what Vegas is doing here. 16.5? You can't. If you tease it down, you're still stuck 6 points, which is your normal tease. You're stuck still having to give 10.5. That hook, this is Vegas tired of losing money with Kansas City being betting parlays, teasers, everything, because all they do is win. But, man, there's no chance I would take Arizona on the road. I probably would take Kansas City here if it were 20.
Is Josh Rosen the quarterback? You
know, yes.
Okay.
Wow.
But Kansas, there's nothing in Arizona. I know you're supposed to always take a dog this big in the NFL, but nothing about Arizona says they're going to score more than 14 points. And Mahomes gets 35 in his sleep.
Dallas, a bad team. They're a bad team right now. Dallas on the road at Philadelphia, a strange team that we haven't figured out. This is a division game. Dallas getting 6. Will Chuck Todd go 6 home teams in a row this week?
This is the Golden Tate debut with the Eagles,
yes.
I believe.
Yes.
This actually is the most tempting tease game on the board because you can tease it down to a pick 'em, and nobody would want to take the Cowboys in that situation. So I'm going Philly. That scares me because of that, but I don't trust Dallas on the road.
And finally, Washington goes to Tampa Bay. Washington was destroyed last week. They were also destroyed by New Orleans earlier in the season and came back and won the next week. Tampa Bay is a situation Fitzpatrick will start. That doesn't mean Winston won't come in. Tampa Bay is a circumstance in which they usually fall behind by 400 points and then get 3 touchdowns in 4 minutes to make it a game. If you like Washington, you get 2.5 with a team with the far better record. What are you going to do?
This game, neither team ever should be favored. You don't trust either team as a favorite, as we found out last week. So I'm going with the Redskins on the road. It's my one road team, right?
It is your one road team. It is your one road team. You were 6-1, and before that, you were 5-2, betting predominantly road teams. I hope you're right this week, because this could be.
Well, I haven't had much sleep.
Right.
So I've been basically operating on caffeine and gummy bears.
Good for you.
We'll find out. Yeah, we'll find out if this works.
I saw Chuck. I watched a little bit of Chuck on Tuesday night, and he had sort of a confidence,
a swagger of some sort,
a bravado that I hadn't seen before.
Really?
And I feel like it's because of this.
And this could be the Capitol file photos, which are so good.
Yeah, that one on the bearskin rug is a little.
You know, we did election night from the Today Show studio, which means people could watch us from the plaza.
Cool.
I think Reginald threw something at me.
Is it possible?
At one point, and by night, something.
I refused to call. We were refusing to call Texas, too close to call, and he threw something at us. Yep. I'm convinced it was some monkey.
He rode hard for Beto O'Rourke.
All right, so I know I appreciate the fact that you squeezed us in. I will explain after you're gone what happened with the terrible phone situation here. We'll talk to you next week at greater length, I hope.
I look forward to listening to that grievance. That's the best part of your show.
All right. Thank you, Chuck. Before we get to the monkey, and we always do get to the monkey, we tried mightily during the body of the show to get Chuck on for the normal 12, 13 minutes. The phone here did not work. We pushed Nigel out of the studio to go get Chuck's picks.
Yes.
And we would just report those. And then Chris said, try the phone one more time. And by trying the phone one more time, it worked. Which the people in the audience clapped for. Which is very nice. But it was a shorter Chuck segment because he had to leave to do
another thing.
Apparently he's busy this week.
Well, I can't imagine one. All right, so again, we don't just give you Chuck Todd. We also give you a monkey.
See the monkey, he's scritch, scratching, watching his iPad, smoking and laughing, hanging with Bud Grant, tap, tap, tapping on his purple attaché. Nigel's going to the zoo. Reginald's got the bite, spy, too. Sometimes he throws his poo. When he's had too much Johnny Walker Blue.
So you went to see him?
I did. I went down to the National Zoo last night, and Reginald was busy celebrating. I was unaware of this. I did not see it on the ballot, but apparently he won the Advisory Neighborhood Committee membership for the Woodley Park area. He immediately announced plans for construction of a casino and a monorail. Eventually a convention center right there in the downtown area of Woodley Park. So very exciting.
I followed that one closely.
That was a very heated contest.
But, so what has he got? He was 1-2 last week. He's 12-14-1.
Yeah,
he's within striking distance.
He is. But he's a little bit upset with himself. So he rolled up his sleeves to do the hard work. And the first game he gave him was Atlanta giving four at Cleveland. And he showed me an old faded photograph of him at a bar in Buckhead with Dale Murphy, Pasquale Perez, and Glenn Hubbard.
I've got to tell you, I think maybe I'm being too influenced by what happened with the Redskins game, but I think I would take Atlanta in this game.
It feels good about it.
They look great.
I think they're good.
Go ahead.
And now, I told Chuck that I would make Reginald pick this game. I said the Arizona-Kansas City game. And I wasn't sure which side Reginald would be on in this, but he showed me another picture of him standing on a corner in Winslow, Arizona.
Such a fine sight to see. Exactly. It's a girl alone in a flatbed Ford.
Down to take a look at
Winslow. I don't know how you can bet this game at all, but I think you have to take 16.5.
I think the Chiefs will cover in the first
half. It's going to be 21-0 first quarter, and you're going to be going, what did I do?
21-0 at halftime.
Yeah. But I'm with you. If there's 16.5, you have to take it. Reginald feels the same way.
He's also
way.
Very favorite. Friendly with David Klecka,
so
spends a lot of time in the Valley of the Sun.
Yes, he does. And this, the last game we gave him, obviously, was Washington getting 2.5 at Tampa. And this was a photograph he was not happy to show me. He had his hand up sort of against the camera, but it was clearly him walking out of Mons Venus in Tampa.
Oh.
And then he said he begrudgingly showed me the bill for it, $68,000.
I don't know how.
So he's been hanging with the Tampa kids, you're saying.
I mean, I agree with Chuck completely. You can't favor either of these teams in any single thing they do.
Right. Well, Tampa has been able to score.
They do.
They average 20 over 28 a game.
But at the moment, the Redskins starting offensive line consists of Gary and Chris.
Yeah. Not
they
good.
Don't have any,
and Gary, you said this the other day. If the Redskins, if they're behind, they haven't won.
So
right?
Fun fact, the Redskins have never led in a game. They've essentially every game they've
Yeah, you got it.
Every game they've trailed and they've lost. And if they've been ahead,
they have never led in a game they've won, and they've never trailed.
No, they've never,
never led in a game they lost, and they've never trailed in a game. I'm sorry, I've been drinking. It's been a long day.
All right.
Very long
Watch
week.
The opening drive is what you're saying.
We will get out of here.
First to score wins.
We will have news right when we return. We have news when we return. Let me just say happy birthday to John Nazzaro. His daughter, Stephanie Blake, came in here and went, what's the matter?
Yes, no, I want to apologize to Stephanie because she was asking me, say, hey, can you help me with this? And I was like, I'm on the phone with Chuck. I've got to take care of this.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I'm glad we got to
no, big time.
Big time's
a little.
Sure, I'll handle
hardly
it.
Hardly yeah, sure.
How we get out of here?
Throw the trash. I'll
I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
The fall sports season is one of the hardest times of year to get through without a cable subscription, from professional and college football to baseball's October magic. Being exiled from the sports world is a nightmare, and you wouldn't want to miss any of those November Wizards home games.
No, you would not. No,
but now, with ExpressVPN, you can stream all of your favorite teams in any sport on your computer, phone, or tablet. ExpressVPN is the biggest secret cable companies don't want you to hear about. ExpressVPN can get you any IP address in the world, letting you access sports streams available in other countries. It also lets you securely use the internet without being tracked by anyone. ExpressVPN keeps your online activity private and anonymous while you browse, email, download, or stream. Their easy-to-use app encrypts all your internet data and hides your IP address, protecting your entire connection. ExpressVPN costs less than $7 a month and runs seamlessly in the background of your computer, phone, or tablet. Every time you use the internet without ExpressVPN, you're putting sensitive data at risk. To unlock access to the streaming content you want today and find out how you can get 3 months free, go to expressvpn.com/Tony. That's expressvpn.com/Tony for 3 months free with a one-year package. I hope the way that I've been reading this is really conveying the bolded notes that they are trying to get across, that you are at risk at all times.
Yep.
You go online from any device.
That's right. Good job.
Visit expressvpn.com/Tony to learn more.
Love the way the kid reads.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Oh. This is sent in to us by Meredith Buzzy, who writes, here are some songs from and by my friend's band, 6 Miles to Nelly. The band has earned notoriety in Knox County, Ohio, and the greater Columbus area. They play local festivals such as the Fredericktown Tomato Show. It's kind of a big deal. And various other venues, including wineries, just in case you ever want to come out to Ohio to see a show. There's wine. Their brand of Americana music and multiple covers of songs leaves concert goers in an upbeat mood, which you can tell, which all of us, and she writes, which all of us can use right now. They're in desperate need of a French horn player, so I'm hoping that in his certain travels to Ohio in the next few years leading up to 2020, that Chuck Todd can find some time to pick up some shows with the band. How great would that be? 6 Miles to Nelly. Michael, if people like 6 Miles to Nelly want to send us their music, how do they do so?
Send us your music by emailing it to jingles@tonykornheisershow.com.
And in this area of the country, it's going to get very cold in the next week or so. What are we selling
to? You know, if you were trying to play a turkey shoot golf tournament this Saturday where the high was 46, you might be looking for that Tony K pom-pom winter knit hat.
Absolutely.
Which you can find at shop.tonykornheisershow.com and which is on sale, thanks to Rob Kolpian.
That's very, very good. All right, Nigel, you have some news.
I do indeed, Mr. Tony. Some interesting news may be coming towards the District of Columbia. Because of the flip in the House, there is now a thought that full legalization of marijuana might happen in the nation's capital.
It's fully legalized now in Colorado and California. Are there other places?
To buy and sell.
Yeah, I think Massachusetts, Michigan, I think.
North Dakota just voted it down.
Voted it down.
I know that. I mean, we can look. There were a bunch of pot ballot initiatives on the ballot. Massachusetts, you'll know that jumps out.
But that's what we're talking about with full legalization, right? Like D.C., you can possess, but you can't buy and sell.
You can't buy and sell it.
But you can.
And so the argument is that there's millions of tax dollars that the District of Columbia is missing out on. If they had these shops, that they could tax the commerce.
Just one clarification. There are a bunch of ballot initiatives that passed on medical marijuana use, which obviously is not the same.
So here's sort of my question on this. The District of Columbia is a very tiny place physically.
Yes.
It is bordered by and every single day populated by people from Maryland and Virginia. If you can come to the District of Columbia and buy and sell marijuana legally, what happens if you use this and say, and just say, get in a car wreck because you're a Virginia person, mm-hmm. an Uber driver more than likely, or a Lyft driver,
right.
and you get in a car wreck in Virginia under the influence of marijuana that you have legally bought in the District
it's
of Columbia?
Nowhere is it legal to be driving under the influence
right,
of
right.
marijuana.
It'd be like okay. purchasing alcohol.
But if you went and bought it legally in the district,
right.
and then you got in a car accident and were found to be possessing it illegally, you would be illegally in possession
of it. This is why the law, I mean, this is why when you have a federal law that outlaws marijuana and state laws that legalize it, it makes,
well,
we're just kind of, it's one of these things where we just kind of just hold two absolutely contradictory facts.
It's like the DH.
But it's not.
It's like the DH.
What you talk about.
What do you mean in the National League you can't use the DH?
The pitcher hits.
What you talk about, though, what you're outlining there is not much different than when I was in high school, which the drinking age in Maryland where I lived was 21, and in D.C. it was 18.
Right.
I mean,
so
it's
we
not
could
new
drive.
That we do this, but...
And it gets more complicated in D.C. with all of the federal parks. So you could be downtown thinking you are consuming in a perfectly legal way.
Right.
But you won't be.
And you would be, yes.
That's right.
Next thing you know, you're in a Turkish prison.
Well, and the other thing is, even if D.C. has passed this law and said we do want to open up these shops and tax it and all this... Congress has the ability to say, yeah, no, we're not going to let that happen. And that's what the Republicans have done. And now they're thinking that the Democrats are in power in the House.
But okay, in the House, but wouldn't you have to pass the law in the Senate as well?
No,
just the House?
Just the House has that capability that I understand. Chris, am I right on that?
What?
That's not usually how a bill
doesn't make a lot of sense.
I mean, I guess it's.
But I think
possible.
I think it's oversight.
Parliamentarian.
I think the House has some specific oversight, not
of marijuana.
Of DC's laws.
Oh, I mean, okay. DC is a different animal.
Right. Yeah, so we can pass a law.
Okay.
And I think it was this guy.
So then,
Chaffetz.
Can we all get rich?
Yeah, Jason Chaffetz.
By we all, I mean everyone just sitting here right now.
Yeah,
Chatter.
Not just
Ken Chatter sell weed. That's what we're trying to establish.
Well, yes. If
can we apply for a weed license?
Absolutely,
Chatter.
Sure.
Dispensary.
Get
dispensary
some Wilbon's chili.
Restaurant.
You know,
stick it in all the food.
And you guys. Well, the good thing is you have food, so it's really you got double whammy.
Food and drink.
Yeah.
Okay.
Get hungry.
You could bill yourself as dispensary / edibles. Technically, what your
you
food
do have
is edible.
Right.
It'd be maybe a little misleading for some.
Our food is edible. Our food is good.
Right, fantastic. But I'm saying when people hear edibles, they think typically...
Mushrooms.
Marijuana-infused foods.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, that's how the kids rage these days.
Is that true?
You're not down with the edibles?
I didn't know that.
Kids are too young,
I thought you were talking about mushrooms.
No, edibles.
You mean like,
pot brownies, pot candy. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Pot candy.
We could sell that.
Pot chicken parmesan is actually fantastic.
Oh, that would be delicious.
Chicken parmesan.
We could use the sponge candy from Erie, Pennsylvania.
Pot roast.
Did you try that yesterday?
I have not, but we passed it out before so that everybody could get a
these
try.
People?
Nobody has died yet.
Well,
yet.
That's good.
So that's good. Okay. What else?
It looks like LaMelo Ball.
This is the best story.
This is the best story of the day. He's back. But he's going to be going to the Spire Institute and play high school basketball.
Okay.
Spire.
And then these are all in caps. S-P-I-R-E. This is in Ohio. LaMelo Ball was set to play some years back at Chino Hills High School in California, where Lonzo played, where the second brother, who has apparently disappeared.
LiAngelo.
Yeah. He has disappeared from the face of the earth.
Don't worry about that.
Yeah. So
he's in Latvia.
He's disappeared. Is it Latvia or Lithuania?
Lithuania.
One of those.
Yeah.
Okay.
Isn't that where his dad coached?
LaVar Ball took the two younger balls to Lithuania to make them the greatest Lithuanian players in the history of Lithuania, which would not be true because I thought they had some really great players. In any case, they were playing in a pro league. It's a professional basketball league. And this kid, how is this kid going to be eligible for high school basketball anywhere, even in one of these, it's a basketball academy.
Yes.
Right. How are you eligible?
The home page of the Spire Institute is Spire Basketball Academy.
It's a factory.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's called Spire Basketball Academy. So you're not taking,
sounds
you know,
like Montrose Christian.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, but to a higher.
But I think even more so.
Right.
Yeah.
There's probably no pretense of school. There's probably not.
The Spire,
I don't want to slander the place.
This is interesting, right. Actually. It says located at the Spire Institute.
It's in Ohio.
A United States Olympic and Paralympic training site. Spire Academy is an international high school and post-grad academy focused on developing and preparing student athletes to be successful in college.
And I have
as a basketball
player. Well, yes.
I have your answers to why he's eligible.
How is he eligible?
Apparently, and this is what someone told ESPN, Bol was not compensated and never received payment for playing in Lithuania or in the JBA, keeping him eligible to play this season.
Okay. Well, if you're not paid, you're not
that?
A pro.
No, not for a second.
His father,
I do believe that he was not paid.
His father took the money.
Right. Yeah, I'll take this
Speaking
and keep it for you.
Speaking of the father... Is it possible that LeBron and Magic talked to LeVar Ball and were like, you can't badmouth like the
100%
Lakers? Because he hasn't said anything.
It's not possible.
It happened.
It's in the deal.
Okay. Because, I mean, LeVar Ball, LeVar Ball has been non-existent.
He would have attacked Luke Walton incessantly.
Because they're like, they're not off to a great start. And Lonzo is losing minutes to... None other than Rajon Rondo at the moment.
There should be no doubt in your mind, okay. Even for a second, that part of that deal doesn't involve, in effect, a gag order.
I mean, he
on
hasn't
LeVar
said
Ball.
Anything.
No,
yeah,
which is not
big ball LeBron.
You know, I just don't. I don't understand how this kid is eligible. I just don't.
You
didn't,
are
didn't
a
get,
hater.
Didn't get paid.
Okay,
yeah, he wasn't paid. Not
what
professional,
else?
Right? To Maryland, the University of Maryland, Mr. Tony. There is a new chair for the Board of Regents for the university. That is Linda Gooden. Her first act was to apologize to the family of Jordan McNair, who passed away from heat stroke on the field in May. And then she went on to say the board now understands its personnel recommendations will
now. I mean, these people are. How dumb can you possibly be? I just don't. Did you not pay? Did you not read anything about the case? Are you unaware of the way in which modern life works? How could you have been on the Board of Regents, which in my mind constitutes some level of success in life? Even I'm not any Board of Regents.
Well,
yet. and how could you possibly have thought that this would end well?
Person, Linda Gooden, is that what you said her name
yeah,
is?
Yeah, Linda Gooden.
Was she on the board when they came to the original
decision?
She can't
have been.
I believe there was some affiliation.
No, I don't know.
Nigel will dig for that.
I don't know.
I'll dig for it in the copy
because
I'm reading.
Because if she was in the room, then what?
How can you have none of those people who were in the room who were like, DJ Dirk, that seems okay.
Well, they whacked two trainers yesterday, but somehow Damon Evans remains.
How is the AD still there? How is the AD in a position to appoint a new football coach if that is... Well, even if they appoint Matt Canada, you're appointing a new football coach.
She was on the board. She was the board's former assistant treasurer.
How?
Well, how... Okay. Is she able to say, look at the transcripts, I was against this?
That's the only way.
I hope she was able to say that.
A written dissent, like on the Supreme Court.
All right, what else?
And staying with Maryland, it looks like there's going to be some redrawing of district lines for the 6th district. I think that's the district you want me to talk about, right?
Yes.
Well, that's the one that they're redistricting. They believe it is gerrymandered now at the exclusion of Republicans or the exclusion of Democrats.
That one, it's not about the exclusion of either. I think it's simply that it was drawn. Districts are supposed to be drawn compact and contiguous, and if you look at that district, that's the one that goes from Western Maryland all the way into Montgomery County. It used to be Roscoe Bartlett.
It looks like what would happen if you took a regular district and took a rolling pin to it.
That's exactly right.
Squished a pizza crust.
And, yeah.
What they did was that district was drawn, I believe, for Roscoe Bartlett to try to make it Republican.
Well, David Trone won as a Democrat.
Right. And I mean, there are a bunch of districts
like this
in the
country. Do we have
some sense
of what David Trone spent?
We can find that out.
And David Trone ran in another district 2 years ago.
He ran in the 8th, did he not?
He ran And then I found, I asked somebody about this the other day.
He doesn't live in the sixth.
You don't have to.
So this is what I found out.
You don't have to live where you
live. No, I was amazed to find out.
Live in the state.
You don't have to live in your congressional district.
Many don't. Is that right? It's often a problem.
I would run against somebody like that.
Yeah,
I was like, whoa!
Yeah, you're not from here. Yeah, this is my place.
You don't care enough to even live here?
Many times what it is because, this is nerdy, but the way in which they draw districts now, they do them by computer. So they could literally, if Tony Kornheiser was a state senator who they didn't want potentially challenging their incumbent, they would draw Tony Kornheiser's house out of the district by literally a block. And so you could say, well, screw that. Like, I know they purposely drew it out of by a block. I live one block away. That's often what happens. It's not usual that, like, somebody lives in Baltimore and represents, usually
it's
close.
So you wouldn't live in New York City and be the Buffalo congressman?
No. I mean, not
typically.
You
could be,
but you theoretically could be. Hold on, I'm looking. So, yes, David Trone ran in 2016 in Maryland's 8th district, which is the one, if you just drive north from here, you would hit.
Right, in three blocks.
And that was the one that Kathleen Matthews ran in and Jamie Raskin won.
Right.
In that race, he made $13 million in contributions for himself. Now, this race, although
I thought he spent more this time.
This time, he loaned himself $12.7 million. Okay. So he spent $25 million. To be a member of
As
Congress.
We like to say, good for him. Must be nice. All right, we'll take a break.
Got a restaurant if he's interested.
Yeah, we have Old Guy Radio. Old Guy Radio when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show. Tony Kornheiser
Show. Here's where I get to talk to you about Lowe's, which is my new go-to destination for Craftsman products. When I need Craftsman products, it's the only place I go. They have everything I need to help me tackle projects around my home, from mechanics tool sets to tool storage and more, both in-store and online. One of the cool and different things you'll find in the Lowe's Craftsman lineup are mechanics tool sets in a gunmetal finish. The gunmetal chrome finish is corrosion resistant. That means the tools are more durable, long-lasting. The best part, if you're a stickler about cleaning the tools, it makes them easier to clean. You can get this in a 51-piece or an 81-piece mechanics tool set in the gunmetal chrome finish. The set comes with the new industry-leading Craftsman 120-tooth ratchet, which we have to buy for Howard Fineman because it offers extreme accessibility. So let's just say one of your projects happens to be in a really tight space to get to. Then you definitely need to check out the 120-tooth ratchet because it's got a 3-degree arc swing. And a 3-degree arc swing means you can loosen or tighten bolts with less movement in those hard-to-reach spots. With its slim head and 3-degree arc swing, you can get into narrow spaces with ease and quickly tighten or loosen any fastener. And if you don't want to do that, the worker man that you have called to do that, you hand him this ratchet and it helps get the job done that you can't do yourself. Lowe's and Craftsman, both deeply rooted in heritage and quality. Like their customers, these two brands have a shared passion for hands-on doing. Lowe's and Craftsman makes it easy to tackle any auto or do-it-yourself project on your list. So shop the new home of Craftsman today at Lowe's.com/Tony. That's Lowe's.com/Tony.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is Old Guy Radio for the day. This is Harry Nilsson. This is Everybody's Talking. This is in the great movie Midnight Cowboy, as Joe Buck is on the bus going from Texas.
Not that one, kids.
Different Joe Buck. John Voight as Joe Buck is on the bus heading into New York City. This is the song that plays in the background. If I'm not mistaken, Harry Nilsson didn't write this song. Someone named Fred Neil wrote this song.
And you said this yesterday.
Yes. It's a great, great song, made even greater if you watch the movie, which I haven't seen in many years, but which won the Academy Award as the best movie of the year, in which Dustin Hoffman plays Ratso Rizzo. I mean, it just... never been a better named character than Ratso Rizzo.
And he's got those two great lines. One, the, hey, I'm walking
here.
And
hey, I'm walking
here. Is he stuffing his jacket pocket?
It's free. Free food. It's free. What's your problem? What is there any particular reason we're doing it?
Oh, it was recorded on this day by Harry Nilsson in 1967. So
that's 51 years ago.
51, yes.
It's a great movie. It was a hard R movie at the time. Now it's a joke. Now it's a PG movie,
yeah, exactly.
PG-13.
Yeah. Disney.
But
yeah.
It was a hard R movie because I think of the nudity of Brenda Vaccaro in that movie. It's, again, many, many years since I've seen it. Maybe it doesn't hold up.
Yeah.
But I thought it was a great
movie. We talk about Easy Rider sometimes.
That doesn't hold up.
It does not hold up.
All right. We started. We did a little local stuff at the beginning when we talked about the Wizards. I want to do the Bryce Harper stuff because I think that that is not local anymore. I think that is national now. Yesterday, there was a report in the Washington Post by Chelsea Janes that the Nationals had made an aggressive offer, which is now said to be 10 years, $300 million.
Yep. With no opt-out.
With no opt-out. Right. We want you. We're not going to let you leave after three, after five, after seven. If you stink, we'll eat it too, but that's it. You're here for the duration of your career. Bryce Harper, 26 now. 10 years takes him to 36. It's doubtful he gets another really big deal. Bryce Harper politely refuses. We haven't heard from Bryce Harper for a variety of reasons. And I wouldn't, by the way, if I were Bryce Harper's agent, Scott Boras, I would say, you're underground now. You know, we'll take it from here. Don't worry about it. Much of the commentary in Washington has been, well, good for the Nats for trying. Mm-hmm. You want to make sure that you're out there with a – that's a very good offer. $30 million a year.
Let's ask.
Yes. Gary, would you take it? Because I would take
it. I would take it, but I would point out it was the initial reporting.
Not find Bryce
before
Harper.
We knew the numbers when it said a quote, aggressive offer.
Yeah, we didn't know.
People assumed it would have eclipsed the Stanton offer, which I think was 3.25. The Stanton deal?
I don't know.
So, you know.
The Stanton deal with Miami.
It's a very good offer. I'm not shaking a stick at $300 million, but it was.
I feel like he wants $40 million a year. Maybe the Phillies or Dodgers give that to him? $30 million a year, I guess maybe Michael knows better, but maybe the lack of an opt-out was more the deal-breaker. Yeah. But he wants to be the – does he want to be the highest-paid player in baseball?
Probably.
$30 million a year
– it's market minus 10% for a hometown discount.
I'm interested. I don't think he's now coming back.
So at the GM's meeting, which is before the full baseball winter meetings, it seems like a done deal that he's going to Philadelphia, which makes it look like he is just chasing the biggest paycheck that he can get, and he wants that
staying in the division.
Number of millions next to his name. Because, the danger of staying in that division, playing the Nats 19 times a year, playing the Marlins, playing New York, who already have an entire book on you. You think that's not the path to the most successful career, particularly when it looked originally like you were trying to chase big market, and then all of a sudden you go to Philly, which is a sizable East Coast market, but is not LA and is not New York.
I'm interested to see if the Phillies pay him $40 million a year and then what that means for the rest of their roster. I mean, they have a good young roster, obviously. They fell off in the second half, but
I was under the impression they had set their sights on Manny Machado more than anybody else. And that Manny Machado, because of the influx in the front office there from former Baltimore Orioles people, that Manny Machado was going to go there.
Like Manny Machado may be the third baseman of the Yankees.
But now it looks like Machado's going to the Yankees.
Yeah. Oh, now he's going to the Yankees.
Yes, that's the rumor.
You look at the Phillies who have done this before when they've handled a huge payroll and it got them that World Series. So you might say, because of the young talent we have, we can afford that astronomical Harper deal for 4 to 5 years, and we're willing to eat it on the back end if it means that we will get that championship again. The way that the National League is set up and the way that the division is set up, it's really hard to bet on Harper being that one piece that puts any team over the edge, but that's probably where they're thinking.
Given what Harper has done in Washington, can you imagine him being booed here?
Yes.
Absolutely.
You think if he goes to Philadelphia, he gets booed?
Act two of his drama, that's what he needs. He probably will feed off of that.
Be the villain.
You think that would happen?
I don't think he's the quality of player LeBron is. No, I mean, he's not one of the five best baseball players.
Well, you guys go to more games than I do, but
I wouldn't boo.
If this is the last offer he were to receive from the Nats, I think it would be hard to boo him. I mean, that offer to me is an opening salvo. It's a nice little hometown discount offer. The no opt-out thing is
I think
harsh.
It gives both sides an easy way to walk away.
Right.
I think it does that.
But if he walks, if he goes to Philly for an extra $30 million over 10 years, you know, then I think people go, what are you, you
which
know,
makes
you
just look at it and say, Juan Soto was so far and above what we thought he would ever be in his first year. And if you pair him with Robles, how much more room does that does that give you to make deals? Does that allow you to finally close on a guy like Real Muto where you can address needs? Outfield production is not where they have been at a loss. It's trying to get production from second base, from catcher to try.
They need to get players. They clearly need more pitching. If they don't have to pay one guy $30 million a year,
now
they can go out and get
If I am a Bryce Harper fan, we've seen a guy who is a bit mercurial, who has not handled fan criticism particularly well at moments. Even just think about the way he's gone at fans with Metro and the culture of staying at games. Philadelphia is not going to tolerate what he did the first half of the season. If he were to go there, put up those numbers, it'd be interesting to see the long-lasting effects that would have on his production in that, say, 4 to 5 year window where you'd expect him.
But he has certainly been treated well in Washington.
Yes,
you can
really
be bigger.
Well.
You can.
As he should be.
You can be bigger in Philly than you can here if you win, in my opinion. There's more distractions here. There's more other things going on there. I mean, he could own that town. If he went there and won for them, he could own that town.
They care more about their athletes than Washington does.
And by the way, I had not heard the reporting that the Yankees are the front runner for Machado. Yeah. Put the entire Orioles fan base on suicide watch if that happens.
Yeah.
I mean, that would hurt. Now, I don't know that they would boo him because he was dealt, but that man, that would hurt. That would hurt. That's kicking them while they're down.
I just looked at Stanton's numbers. Stanton, he makes $325 million.
Okay,
this is the Miami contract.
It's the second most lucrative contract in sports behind. This is a very tough one to get. Any guesses? It's not a major sport.
Oh, some soccer player then?
Canelo Alvarez.
Oh, wow. The new deal with
$365 million. Here are Stanton's career numbers. He's been in the league since 2010. He has hit 305 home runs. He has 772 RBIs, and his lifetime batting average over that time is .268. Those numbers.
Harper has. I'm
going to look up Bryce.
I know their numbers.
What are they?
Harper's numbers are not as good with home runs, not as good with RBI.
Better on average.
Better on average, and he gets on base a little bit more. Gets on base a little bit more.
I think it's
he'd
reasonable
hit a lot of home
for
runs
him to
Citizens
expect.
Bank Park.
Yes, he would.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't. Do you not think that a reasonable starting point for a contract would be that one? I mean, when I say given the market, I understand everything is crazy.
So that's 32
But if you're Bryce Harper,
million.
You can go, really? You're 10% less than Stanton's getting?
No, I want what Stanton's getting.
Yeah.
No,
yeah,
absolutely.
That's
what
I think.
But from a negotiation standpoint, you start there so that Boris comes back and actually addresses that. And you have to love Boris now, who just openly says, well, Harper, he can also play first base.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, well, Boris is going to do the best for his client.
Correct.
Boris has a lot of clients on the Nats, but he also has a lot of clients everywhere.
Scherzer and Strauss, right?
Yeah. And Rendon is next. And
next year.
He's got Rendon. All right. I would be crazy not to talk to Chris about the election, considering Chris was on television. How was your all-nighter?
Oh, my gosh.
First time since college. How was you? Tell the people when you were on.
Well, I assume they know Tone because
they
watched. I began my television excursion at 1 a.m. Wednesday morning.
1 a.m. Eastern.
I was on television until 5 a.m. Eastern. It was not as bad as you might think. I was on a panel with a lot of other people, 8 other people, and Don Lemon.
Is he subhuman? What do you mean? 8 people
no,
and
Don
Lemon.
Don hosted it.
Okay.
Sorry,
I mean,
Don hosted and there were 8 Lemon. Panelists.
All right.
Where were you seated in the panel?
Right next to Don.
Behind
right,
the
literally
camera.
His right-hand man, if
wow.
you will.
Nice.
Yeah, that clearly was a mistake.
Gotta get my right-hand man back.
Exactly. And it was not terrible. There was stuff still happening.
Well, did they give you food?
Oh, so this is what I'm going to get
to. What about the catering?
The food was incredible. They had
That's good.
Snack Shack, they had Potbelly, they had Chopped, and then at like 2:35 or 2:45, I was like, I smell bacon. You know, because
really?
I have that gene. As anyone who's ever come into Chatter, I eat like 19 pieces of bacon and then I leave.
Right.
After the show. And they had breakfast sandwiches, quiche, croissants. And the great thing was we were under orders not to get up because they never knew when they were coming to us.
Right.
So we couldn't get up. So I had stuff brought to me.
Was it on your lap or was it on?
No, on the table. And I just noshed on it. I ate.
So this is great.
3 biscuits, 3 sausage links. I did put on some LBs. I'm starting to move up toward my former weight.
So before. That's like a Super Bowl party.
If you were offered the all night shift on a regular basis with the catering, would you be inclined to say this is a good idea?
With the catering, yes.
Catering was good, but I think that's only election night catering.
But so I got back to the hotel. I rented a hotel room, and I got back, and it was like 6, and it was light, and I walked back by a lot of people who were going into work. That was tough.
Walk of shame.
That was not my favorite moment. And I got up at like 9 yesterday morning, and then I worked yesterday. It was honestly not at all bad. It was much better than I thought. It's really cool. This is my first election at CNN. It was really cool to work at a show. There were so many people there. At 4:30 in the morning, there are hundreds of people
working. What was the biggest surprise election to you?
I heard you ask Howard this. I was listening to the show yesterday and heard you ask Howard this. So mine is weird in that when it happened, it made sense in retrospect, but Kris Kobach losing the governorship of Kansas, because it takes significant effort as a Republican to not get elected in Kansas.
Right.
This was Trump's guy. He was in the voting commission. Now, his second or third or fourth act may be as the Attorney General of the United States, because he's being floated potentially to do that. But I was surprised by that. Also surprising, I think, two of the most Democratic states in the country, I don't think anyone would disagree, are Maryland and Massachusetts. They both reelected Republican governors overwhelmingly.
Yeah. So this is the question that I have, as everybody talks. Is it pronounced Beto O'Rourke?
Beto O'Rourke.
Beto. Is that his actual name?
His name is Robert. He goes by Beto.
Okay. He became this star.
He's raised $61 million.
Right. He's a star. I get that he's a star. He lost.
Yeah.
On the national stage, you get one shot. This isn't Adlai Stevenson coming back to go against Dwight Eisenhower again. That's not how it works anymore. In the television era, it's just not the same. He may be sexy, and he may have almost pulled it off, but he actually lost. Mm-hmm. I think guys like that are done running for national office because he's 0-1. Am I wrong or right?
Well, I think you may be wrong.
Okay.
I would argue a lot
of people have run in. I mean, If you took a poll today, and people have taken polls in the recent past, and you asked who would you want to vote for in the 2020 Democratic primary race, guaranteed number one by probably 15-ish points is Joe Biden, who has run and lost, as Donald Trump will remind you, run and lost for president not once but twice.
No, he didn't get nominated. I mean when it's a head-to-head, when it's just one against one, and you lost.
Okay. I mean, I agree with. So my argument would be basically, who is Beto O'Rourke today? He's a member of Congress who served for a couple terms and lost the Senate race, right? Which is different than Joe Biden, who was a United States Senator.
That's right. That's right.
He had won a bunch of races. I think the circumstances and the context would suggest he might run for president. I agree with you. I think had he won, he definitely would have won. But I still think he might run. I think part of that is because you're going to have a field that, I mean, I'm not exaggerating here, will be at least 24 and could be more than that, candidly. And so I think if you're Beto O'Rourke, you look at it and you say, it's going to be hard for me to get elected to the Senate in Texas. Like, I did everything right. I caught lightning in a bottle, very much.
Yes.
And I still lost by 3 to a guy that many people, including many Republicans, hate.
Hates.
So your next entry point is John Cornyn, who's like a senator, a Republican,
nice,
but much less.
Guy.
Right.
Pleasant
it's
guy.
Just hard to win a Senate race in Texas if you're a Democrat. So you think, okay, I guess I could potentially run for governor, but Greg Abbott just got reelected, so that's 4 more years of that. This is your next way to strike while the iron is hot, like to get in there. And so that's why I think he probably does it, because even if you lose, then you can say, then you've got more options at your disposal. Whereas if he doesn't run, he just kind of waits around in a state that is inhospitable still to him being.
So he should move
Tony,
to Maryland.
Tony, last guy, or maybe only guy perhaps, but certainly I believe the last guy to lose a Senate race and then win the presidency next election. You know who it was? Do you know who it was, Chris?
No, go ahead.
Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah.
I mean, so there's a, happened a lot.
Now, Bill Clinton lost as governor
in Arkansas, but then
came back and won again.
Bill Clinton won, then lost 2 years later, because at that point they were reelecting him every 2 years. Lost 2 years later, then won, or 4 years later.
And won.
Then won again,
yeah.
Served for a long time, yeah. And then... Right. So it's a little bit different. The problem is, again, there's no obvious re-entry point into politics for Beto O'Rourke, short of this presidential race. Okay. That's why I think he might do it. That's doesn't mean he wins.
We'll take a break. When we come back, we will have email and a jingle. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show. The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Who can take a franchise, run it to the ground? Launch a poorly thrown pass with defenders all around. The Peterman.
So
the Peterman can. Who makes Sean McDermott swell before our eyes? Teammates retire at halftime as Luke Russert slowly dies. The Peterman. The Peterman can.
The Peterman.
The Peterman can, because he's such a bad QB, he makes Kaiser look good.
That's funny.
That's great.
Brilliant.
Joe Ferran from San Jose, California said the jingle came to me as I was taking the train home from my day job as an elementary school music teacher, thinking about Luke Russert tossing his Corona across the beach in the South Pacific in a fit of Peterman-induced rage. Gave me great joy. Thanks to you and the crew for the laughs and the fun you bring me in Littles Everywhere. P.S. My wife and I both love Saliza. Please let him know.
Thank you for the laughs.
Is that a first-time jingler?
I believe it is.
Wow.
His last comment was funnier than the song.
Let me thank Meet the Press host Chuck Todd for not only doing this twice, once on the phone with us and once on the phone with Nigel, but for not taking any political questions and letting Chris do them today. Thank you to Chuck. Today's sponsors, 23andMe, ExpressVPN, and Lowe's. Thanks to them. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of the Tony Kornheiser Show, wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. And if you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave a review. In the audience, both James and Tracy, happy birthday to them.
Oh, happy birthday. 21st.
Brian in Arlington, I love Spike and Ike's joke, no man is an island, but when you pee, you're a nation. I came home and told the 12-year-old boy, he laughed so hard he got the hiccups. He said he was going to tell everyone on the bus the joke. I asked him to tell it to me. He goes, I'm not an island, you're a nation. No man owns an island, but when I am peeing, I'm an island. You are, you're a nation. By the end, I realized my son can't tell jokes, but we both had the hiccups. That's very funny. Tom Lewis in Fishers, Indiana. Couldn't help but notice how Kip turned into the John Wall of gambling prognosticators. After climbing on the scorer's table, arms stretched out to embrace the love while proclaiming his gambling record to date this season was one game better than Jeff Ma's record, Sheeman goes 0-4 the following week. Ouch. At least he'll always have game 6. From Matthew Schuld, are you aware that Nigel has been recording you ranting and raving and then posting it online? As far as I can tell, he's been doing it for months now. Is this true?
No, not that.
Mike from Burke, Virginia. Uh-oh. Your trust in the discretion of the universe is touching. Who among us doesn't recall the Supreme Court's decision in Old Guy v. Yellow Cab Company, where it was determined that the interior of a cab was a sacred space and that all conversations therein are privileged? Oh, wait, that didn't happen. Oh, and you think the makeup chair at PTI, where they trowel the spackle on your face, is also a private place? Here's a clue. If there's another person in the room and it's not family, you should check yourself before you wreck yourself. And he's counsel.
Good advice.
Check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Chip Robinson, Mount Pleasant, South Carolina. To be clear, you use your phone to summon a heretofore unknown person with a window sticker on his 2010 Camry. He magically shows up 3 to 5 minutes later to the random street corner on which you stand, at which time you get into his car with nothing more than his alleged first name as confirmation that he's indeed your shuttle home. And moments after this transpires, you settle into his still warm from the last person back seat, which you now consider a sanctuary of privacy, and about which Howard wonders whether or not you have a legally binding, reasonable assumption of privacy. Am I following your train of thought here? Yes, and reducing it to the stupidity that I now realize it was.
Yes, nailed it.
From John Kesalika, I heard your discussion of the Ho Chi Minh Trail of Golf, in which you registered your concern over playing golf in Vietnam based on past conflicts. As possibly the only little currently living in Hanoi, I can assure you that the environment is plenty safe for orange bald men in Johnny O golf wear, and the Johnny Walker blue on the course is always flowing. Hanoi even opened Vietnam's first mini golf course this year. If you and Michael find your way here, I'd be happy to pick up the greens fees at Da Nang Dunes. We can tour the tunnels afterwards. I cannot believe that. Sully, of course, from Boston. Sully's are from Boston. In
Socks.
Wednesday's show open, you mentioned Matt Helfrich and how important he is to you and Michael's lives. And in my best Mr. Tony, I say, who is this guy? What makes him so great? What did he do? Notarize the will? I'll hang up and listen. He takes care.
Comment.
He takes care is all we're saying.
Handles things.
Adam Green in Toronto. CNN had Saliza in the third hour of the show. Even they go 10 wide. Did he read the results like a box score? Wilbon, Gary, and I are not surprised. Adam Green, again, same one. Isaac Stevenson, about that fabulous corduroy suit, three-piece? No, two. Perhaps the hard-to-find corduroy vest is part of it, corduroy tie, orange elbow patches, you know, and perhaps Michael should take over now under all that fabulous suitery, corduroy MeUndies? No. Oh. From Joe Farhat in Minneapolis, I just listened to you discuss Ray Knight leading the Nats broadcast. I think whatever he does pales in comparison to the drama in the Tigers booth at the end of the season this year. An implosion of a season was punctuated by our TV play-by-play man and color commentator getting into a literal fight at the end of the game.
Amazing.
Years of under-the-radar bad blood culminated in one getting the other in a headlock and both getting suspended and sent home on separate flights. Emergency replacements had to be flown in to finish the series in Chicago. And I know that's true. That is absolutely fantastic. If you're out on your bike, everyone, as always, do wear white.
You got to harvest your nuts right now, man.
Thank you.
Welcome to the darkness. Fear will let you in. The root of all exclusion. Who is out and who is in? Systems of belonging, lock us in a cage. We fear those who are different, refuse to see them. world. As old.